Welcome all you Plus Two Comedy Modifiers to another episode of the Plus Two Comedy Podcast. I'm your host as always, TV's Noel Houlihan. And before we get to our fantastic episode with Rick Connor of Wrestle Rock Radio, I gotta tell you about some upcoming shows. For some cosplay pro wrestling, please check out South Jersey Geek Fest. That's gonna be October 28th. For more information, go to sjgeekfest.com. Or that same weekend, October 28th and the 29th, go to GameCon at the Tropicana Casino and Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey. I'm still not sure what we're doing there, but we're gonna be there. So please come and see us at GameCon. For more information, you can go to GameCon.com. Also, in November, that's November 10th, 11th, and 12th, please come see us at the Geeky Kink event in the Radisson of Piscataway. We will be doing an episode of this very podcast, though it probably won't make it to YouTube because it's a dirty, dirty con. It's plus 19 to get in, so you might not see a visual version of the podcast that week. We are also doing stand-up comedy. We are doing Beyond the Tentacle, and we are doing Game the Gamer After Dark. So please come see us at the Geeky Kink event. For more information, go to thegeekykinkevent.com. And finally, if you would like to sponsor the Plus Two Comedy Podcast, then please check out our Fiverr store. Information on that can be found in the links below. You can make me say pretty much anything you want for just $5. So please, feel free to support the Plus Two Comedy Podcast. And now, without any further ado, take it away, Kirby Crackle. We're on the road.
Who's ready for a podcast?
Yeah.
That's a huge pop every week. Who's here to do other things is currently being annoyed by a podcast? Yeah, they don't even look up. No. This is the Plus Two Comedy Podcast coming to you live from Gamer's Vault. That's 175 Route 70 in Medford, New Jersey. I'm your host, as always, TV's Noah Houlihan, joined by the classic to my SNES, Mr. Will Liam. How you doing, Will?
All right.
Just all right?
I'm exhausted.
All right. I can't wait to carry this show.
Yeah, I was up at 5 a.m. in the morning. It's too early.
Oh, dude, it seemed like you were going to follow up on that, but instead you decided to stare into space.
Yeah, you guys don't need to know why.
Okay. Our guest this week is the host of Wrestle Rock Radio on Wildfire Radio. Please give it up for Rick Connor.
Thank you, thank you. Everybody, wow, thank you for that smattering of applause.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was way more than I expected.
We have a very quiet audience these days, but it's fine.
I feel like we're just bothering everyone.
Yes. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
That's a big part of the show.
Yeah.
Is bothering people.
Awesome.
But thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Been trying for a while.
Yeah. Oh, man. So many things kept on popping up. People kept on giving me free concert tickets.
Yeah.
I got to see. That sounds like something I shouldn't be complaining about. But somebody gave me free tickets to see Green Day on that I was supposed to be here. And then the next time I was booked on this show, somebody gave me free tickets to see The Offspring.
That's a good show, too.
Let me tell you, dude. There are three bands I want to see in concert.
Yeah.
The Offspring,
yeah.
Green Day.
Offspring are a great show. Can't believe you haven't seen them.
And the Bare Naked Ladies. Those are my three that I super want
to
see.
I
actually ordered their pay-per-view.
They had a pay-per-view?
They had a pay-per-view where they just had a concert, and it was incredible.
Wow.
Because apparently half of it is just them like jamming and making up lyrics.
Yeah.
And they did like a completely original one-time song about Beyond Thunderdome. I was like, this is great.
That sounds awesome.
And at one point, they decide to an audible, and the one guy looks at the other and mouths what song to play, and he starts playing Alcohol, and the other guy starts playing All Girl Band because they misheard each other. And they're like, stop, this is just a mess. We are live on pay-per-view.
That's a great time to not have a set list.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, let's do whatever we want.
Yeah.
But we like to start with an icebreaker question.
Sure.
And this comes from Modifier Jeff. He wants to know, who raised the briefcase at the 1999 King of the Ring when
Austin
fought the McMahons?
Yeah. I'm going to go with Pat Patterson and Gerald Briscoe.
All right. The Stooges?
It's possible. I don't remember the match too well. They might have been at ringside.
What?
Yeah, I know. You host
Wrestle Rock Radio.
I remember the match. I knew exactly what you're talking about as soon as you said who raised the briefcase.
Yeah.
But it's a good question. I don't know. McMahon has a lot of people working for you. He's an evil genius.
That's true.
You know, so who knows? if they weren't at ringside, I would say them.
Okay.
If they were at ringside, I don't know. Maybe his daughter. I don't know. I don't think his daughter was doing anything.
Yeah, I don't think
day.
She was around yet.
No? Was that pre?
How would they?
That's pre Undertaker abduction. I'm pretty sure.
How would they do it if they were ringside?
If they were ringside, I don't think they'd be able to do
it. You don't think? Okay.
Right. All right. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, they were banned from ringside. That was the stipulation.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, then
I remember a lot about this match. Mm-hmm. I've always believed it was the Big Boss Man. Because if anyone interfered, they would be fired. But the Big Boss Man was fired on the Raw before. So I always thought that was a clever way to get around it.
Could it have been the ghost of Owen Hart?
Was he?
Or was he still alive?
He might have been. He died in 99, right?
Now I'm not sure when.
I don't know. He died at Over the Edge 99. What was
yes.
the degree? Was it say,
yeah, I think it was King of the Ring was the ladder match, so. I'm trying to remember when.
I watched that pay-per-view.
The Over the Edge?
Yeah.
Oh,
very
yeah.
upsetting.
It was. It was a scary time.
And, of course, there's always that thing in the back of your mind, like, what angle are they working here?
That
was a big worry for me. I was like, I'm going to be real upset if Owen Hart shows up next
week. If,
if he's if not
turn,
dead
if
forever,
in, yeah,
I'm going to be so upset.
Everyone was crying. And they didn't tell the live crowd, which I always thought was gross.
Well, I mean, who wants to get on the mic in front of a live audience and go?
That's a good point.
But please enjoy these five other matches that we have for you.
Now, please give it up for the Undertaker.
Exactly.
Who I believe was the main event
in a buried alive match.
This all seems really tasteless now. But Rick, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hi, comedy podcast. Let's talk about the Hart's death.
I think the ice is broken, so we can move
on
to just the regular show.
Sure.
So, Wrestle Rock Radio is a wrestling podcast that goes out on Wildfire Radio, and you actually get wrestlers on to interview.
Sure. Yeah, a lot of guys from the indie circuits. Some guys from, you know, the main shows. We had Jerry the King Lawler on, which was pretty cool.
What is that like, talking to the King?
It's odd.
I'd imagine.
It was especially odd since it was over the phone and he was currently boarding a plane. So he was like doing it. Okay, yes.
And you had just tricked him into thinking you were American Airlines helpline.
That's right. He's like, oh, I have a problem with my seat. And I was like, oh, cool. What did you think of,
they
what
said
was your
two carry-on packages.
Yeah, but, you know, it was cool. And we interviewed the Maestro from WCW, if anyone remembers him.
I meant to listen to that today. I listened to your most recent episode, but I was like, the Maestro? Why?
he answered our call, his wife.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
He said yes. There's plenty of people that said no.
Oh, okay, all right.
So the Maestro actually wanted to come on. It was actually a pretty good guest. I wasn't a big WCW guy back in the day, but...
Especially during that time,
because
he was a wrestler during that like really dark. What I can remember about the Maestro is he had a bet with the Cat that the Cat couldn't get James Brown to come to a pay-per-view, and the Cat won.
Wow,
that's literally the only thing I can remember that he did. Did that not come up in the interview? I would have lots of James Brown questions.
if I would have known about it, I definitely would have asked. He told some story about how Terry Funk brought a dead chicken live on the air one time and beat it up, saying it was Ric Flair.
Yes, that is one of my favorite promos.
He told that whole story, and then afterwards, Terry Funk, of course, now has to carry around a dead chicken.
Yeah.
So they're at the hotel afterwards, and they see just a bellboy walking around. Some old man gave me a dead chicken, and I don't know what to do with it. I don't understand.
But so yeah. Feathers or no feathers?
I
believe it was like just a raw chicken.
So yeah. Like a
I don't think it was like a literal, and like you went out kill the chicken.
I bet
you could buy a dead feathered chicken. From like a farmer's market.
Yeah, I think he was talking to David Flair in the promo, and he's like, David Flair, this is your daddy. And then he just beat it up.
No, that's a chicken.
Like WCW legitimately, towards the end of its life, was a bunch of rambling old men.
Oh, yeah.
That being said, Terry Funk wrestles to this day.
I love Terry Funk.
Yeah, I looked it up. Terry Funk retired the first time before I was born.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So he's been retired my entire life. And I've seen him live. So.
Yeah, wrestlers never retire. They just kind of take a break for a while.
I think they get bored.
I think they just get beat up.
Yeah.
Like they just need some rest for a little while. And then they're like, man, I miss it. Let's go back. And then they go, oh, yeah, that's right. This sucks. Yeah, let's retire again.
I forgot. It hurts.
I forgot how much this hurts.
And, Rick, you are a professional wrestler.
I used to be. I retired as well.
Yeah. When do you forget and plan to get back in that ring?
I do miss it every once in a while, but I'll never go back.
Why not? I've never
too
heard
old,
someone
too
say
out
that.
Of, too out of shape. I mean, I'd like to get...
Incorrect.
I have some news for you.
Well, I mean, I can't move nearly as fast as I used to be.
You don't need to.
Sure
You're
you
just
do.
Not that kind of wrestler.
Yeah.
To be fair, yeah, I have seen some
out-of-shape
wrestlers.
There are quite a few.
Wrestlers.
I call them lumberers.
Lumberers?
Yeah, you can be a lumberer.
yeah, I've seen a few people. I don't want to go
wrestlers
back.
Wrestlers call it no-selling, but they're just being lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to run. I did wrestle a guy once that says, I can't run.
Oh.
And I went, okay, that's half my moveset is whipping you off the ropes and doing something to you.
Nope.
I have no idea how to do that. And he's like, nah, don't worry about it. We'll come up with something. Awesome.
He's like, no, we need Let's to, though. That can't be the answer. I'm asking you what that something is.
When you said, I can't run, I was like, I'm there with you. But then what you meant was the 3 feet that is from the center of the ring to the ropes of the ring.
Yeah.
Because I
literally
can do
three steps across the ring.
It's more like a jog.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm going to be in the corner. Walk at me as quickly as you can and clothesline me. You know, so it doesn't make the best match.
I'd imagine.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't think I would go back. It's too painful.
Because
I have a hard time getting out of bed in the morning, let alone running them around the ropes and jumping off and doing stuff, flipping around.
The first indie show I ever went to, you were on.
Oh, really?
Yes. It was CZW's Pain in the Rain 2.
Oh, wonderful.
And it was a free show in a car dealership outside in the rain.
Which is the only reason they got the title Pain in the Rain Part 2. Because Pain in the Rain Part 1 was also outside and it just happened to be raining that day.
It wasn't scheduled to be Pain in the Rain.
Right. But no, that was the show where I got beat by Mercedes Martinez.
Yes, who's doing great in the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah.
I guess I won't spoil it, but it happened.
Alert.
You should know.
You should know by now. If you're a wrestling fan, you know.
Yes.
But yeah, she was, I was kind of bummed out when I heard I was getting beat by a chick, and I'm like, man, people make fun of me now. People are definitely going to make fun of me afterwards. But then I got in the ring with her, and she was fantastic.
She was amazing.
She was better than most of the men I wrestled.
That's the only match I remember.
Yeah.
I remember that there was that, and there was a battle royal that you also lost.
I was in that, and I lost.
And I can remember some of the people that were there, but yours is that's the only match I fully remember.
It was a pretty good match.
Yeah, it was. There was some good stuff in that match.
Yeah.
And you were doing a gay gimmick.
Yeah, sorry everybody.
A gimmick that super wouldn't fly now.
No. But not at all.
Back
just
in the
over
day.
The top stereotypical gay stuff, feather boas and. Grinding, I'm wearing Daisy Dukes and all kinds of weird stuff. Yeah, it's I don't know. I did ask around while I was doing the gimmick because I knew I have some gay friends. Asking around, I'm like, is this offensive though? And they're like, no, you just look stupid. I'm like, awesome.
<It's> too
I'm losing and I look stupid. This is fantastic for my career.
It sounds like you were just so bad at it. They're like, oh, you're trying to be gay? That's just you guys all dress like that and have feather boas.
Knew?
I thought that was just wrestlers. That's just...
I was just bad at it. It's another reason I don't want to go back. I don't want to have to wear a feather boa again.
Yeah, they're expensive.
Because I can name several wrestlers that I didn't think were trying to do a gay gimmick that had feather boas.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Hogan.
Hogan's one of them.
Yeah. Always had a boa.
Yeah.
Now, you used the name Rich Feinberg, right?
Yeah, Rick Feinberg.
Rick Feinberg, excuse me. Why Feinberg? Where did you come up with this name?
Oh, no.
Okay,
so
sorry.
This is another embarrassing story. It's just kind of a gimmick they stuck me with. You've heard of Rob Weinstein?
Yes.
RF Video. He used to work for CZW, and then I never got the full story, but somehow he ended up screwing CZW over. So since Feinstein was gay, they gave me the gimmick of Feinberg and say, all right, go out there and make fun of Feinstein. So that was pretty much my entire gimmick.
So your gimmick was to insult another wrestler?
Yep.
Oh, those gimmicks always do super well.
Oh, man. Yeah, so it was just embarrassing. And I didn't even know the guy. Like,
yeah.
I felt really bad. I'm like, this guy's probably nice.
I mean, not now. Now
not
he's
now.
Always hated me. But
not now. Did Corey ever tell you, Corey Castle, did he ever tell you the story about how he kind of played a prank on me thinking that Feinstein was going to sue me?
No.
Yeah. He got, back when Dean Ambrose was on the independent circuit, he was riding around with Corey a lot. And he's like, okay, this guy, Rick Feinberg, he doesn't know you. And he told him the whole Feinstein story. He's like, just call him up and pretend that you're Feinstein's lawyer. And there's now a cease and desist on the whole character. Man, I pulled out my video camera and I was going to do like a whole, what is that? That guy that did a documentary about meeting Drew Barrymore. What was that?
Oh, my date with Drew?
My date with Drew.
Yeah.
I was doing that whole thing where I'm like, I'm documenting everything. Every phone call I made, I called like a lawyer that I didn't know. But I was like, I need a lawyer. What do I do? You know, I was going through Yellow Pages. I was trying to get a hold of Feinstein. I was calling like several different people trying to get his number. Like, what the hell is going on?
No, it's just a cease and desist. All you got to do is stop.
It's
yeah.
Doing it.
You should have felt
so
relieved.
Happy. Like, oh, thank God. Sorry, boss. I can't do this terrible gimmick anymore. I can't.
Well, at that point, I wasn't doing the gay gimmick anymore, but I kept the name. Because I wanted to, I had no delusions that I was going to the WWE anymore.
Yeah.
So now my dream just became, all right, let's not make me a joke anymore.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, I'm going to keep the Feinberg name, and then I'll just make it not a joke.
I don't even like that name.
I wasn't too crazy about the name either, but.
But then why did you want to hold on to it?
I had like 2 years left before I knew I was going to retire. So I was like, why?
Did you become Rick Matters? Or was that, just your...
That was kind of like a catchphrase.
Okay.
Yeah. If I wrestled anywhere other than, like, the people who knew me as Feinberg, then I'd be like, yeah, just call me Rick Matters. That's
okay.
Fine. But, yeah, it just kind of became, you know, I'd come out of the curtain, throw my arms up, who matters? And everybody's chants, Rick Matters! You know.
That's a great gimmick.
That
yeah,
is great.
Isn't that a great one?
I should have been doing that the entire time.
Yeah.
I wish I would have thought about it back in 99 when I started instead of 2009 when I was almost done. 10 years later, I'm like, you know what? I'll just keep it. I'll just keep being Feinberg and whatever.
Well,
I'll quit when I quit.
The good thing about Feinberg is that when you then teamed with Corey Castle and became the KFC.
KFC, the Castle Feinberg Connection.
And what was your finishing maneuver?
The KFC Twister, which is just me picking up Corey Castle and flipping him around and throwing him on somebody.
Just using him as a weapon.
Yeah.
I'd have gone with the double stacker.
I wasn't out back then.
No.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
The twister was the new thing. There was no double down or...
Weird.
Not the KFC meat bowl or whatever that's called.
Meat bowl? What are you talking about?
The classic bowl or whatever.
Yeah, where they basically throw chicken and mashed potatoes and stuff into a bowl.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, well, let's save a dish. Let's save a plastic or a styrofoam container and put it all in one thing. And charge them more. Perfect. But
they kept on coming out with names of finishing moves KFC did.
Yeah.
Because they were like, oh, here's the KFC double down. I'm like, son of a...
Double down, that's what it is. Didn't they have a stacker?
I think they had some kind of stacker. That was like a little tiny
It was a
sandwich
tiny sandwich.
Yeah.
They called it a snacker?
I like snacker as a finishing move.
Snacker, yeah. The KFC snacker.
But when you guys had broken up when I was started to like kind of hang out and go to shows with you guys,
right.
And you were in the middle of a feud, and you guys really showed me that when it comes to independent wrestling, just stuff would happen. Because you were going to have a steel cage match with Corey,
right?
And you had like the contract signing.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you were supposed to put him through a table, but tables were too expensive, so you had to use just brass knuckles.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah,
I remember the brass knuckles just coming out of nowhere. And somebody was like, "Oh, we can't put him through a table. They won't, because we would have to supply our own tables. Me and Corey are both poor.
Yeah,
so
a table's like $80.
So we're
where are you buying tables from?
I mean, the table store.
I could have gotten you a $12 table.
Oh. You should get into the independent wrestling business. Yeah. I love you.
So much. Yeah.
You could clean up. You would clean up. If you can get like $15 ladders and $10 chairs and stuff like that. Maybe.
Yeah, where yeah. I work in construction. I can
there
totally
you go.
Get all this.
It's your new side business.
That's actually not a bad idea.
I have
idea
a company card to Harbor Freight. I could open up a whole world to these people.
There you go, yeah. Man. I'm telling you, you would clean up. Because people do not buy tables on the indies anymore.
Yeah, they're very expensive.
Yeah.
No,
if
they're
you go
not.
To, like, if you go to like Home Depot or something, they're pretty expensive, right?
Not for me.
Not for you. Well, there
you
go.
How much is a table?
I could get you like a $25 table.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And it's like a bingo hall.
Yeah, like a dry, something a human body would pass through
something
it fairly
like this,
easily.
But it's a wooden table?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's Harbor Freight. It's especially
I don't know
crappy.
Who told me $80, but I've never questioned it. I was like, all right, tables are $80. Now I know.
I think they're probably going to like the wrestler store.
Yeah, the wrestler store is very expensive.
It's a $150 aluminum chair.
But what was crazy is you hit Corey with brass knuckles, and then as you're walking to the back, the commissioner announced that your match was now a steel cage brass knuckles match.
Yeah.
And then there was like a 2-hour discussion between the three of us, like, well, what's that going to be?
What is that?
What is that?
Believe me, there was a 2 or 3 hour discussion in the back with that promoter going, what is that?
Yeah. Nobody knew.
And nobody knew, so it just turned into a regular steel cage match the next show.
Because brass knuckles... The two things about brass knuckles are they are by design extremely easy to hide and do not show up well to a viewer,
right.
And are also for real life dangerous.
Yes,
so not what you want in wrestling.
But I think to a wrestler viewer, brass is less than steel.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like how like roll of quarters in hand does not sound dangerous, but can kill people.
Yeah.
Right.
Like if someone got hit with a bronze medal versus a gold medal, I was like that
gold medal
guy
gonna
is
hurt
dead.
Way more. That's why the world champion belt hurts more than the tag belt.
Exactly. Exactly. It's heavier. It's got that important medal in it.
That prestige.
And I remember I pitched you. I was like, "What you do is you put." Buckets of KFC in all the corners, and you hide brass knuckles in it. And you were on my team with that, and Corey shot us down.
I totally was. I would have done that. We did bring in a bucket of KFC at one point, not into that match.
Yeah.
But at some point, I think somebody had it in the crowd at one point.
To support you, or just like, I'm going to eat.
They were just
if
eating. KFC must be a popular wrestler fan food.
It probably is. I imagine. Maybe not to bring to a show. But yeah, somebody...
Yeah,
I maybe
get that bucket. It's easy to carry around. And
I guess. Maybe if the bucket had a handle on it and just treat it like a
pail.
Pail.
Yeah. It's my pail of chicken.
I'm going to my wrestling show with my pail of chicken. And my spade to eat it with.
Pail of chicken is already halfway to a wrestler gimmick.
Coming to the ring with his pail of chicken.
No, but they did, whoever we were facing went out and grabbed the bucket, it was an empty bucket, and put it on my head, and then chopped the bucket.
See, that's going to do a lot of wrestling damage.
Yes.
And, you know what? It actually really hurt, but mostly just because it was down past my ears, and it echoed
loud.
So bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't hear it. Well, whatever you have planned for the rest of this match, I'm out.
I'm going to guess you woke up with a lot of acne the next day. Oh, God.
Covered in grease. Yeah.
This is horrible.
I was able to slick my hair back with no gel or nothing, so that was fun.
So, now that you're retired, did you have a last match like that was a retirement match, or were you just like, I think this is it?
It was a match between me and this guy, Matt Bomboy.
Okay.
He was on the way of towards quitting the business.
Okay.
He was done wrestling in the company that we were at, that we were having our last match. And it was my last match, period. It was his last match for that company. He was going to go on to wrestle like two more matches for another company.
All right.
But
all right.
We had that last match between the two of us.
And so did the crowd know going in, or was it just...
Yeah, it was set up like that. Like, we went through... We had the whole Team New Era gimmick, where it was this big faction of us. And it was me and him were pretty much the top stars, and Corey Castle. We were the top stars of it. So it was kind of like the end of the era type of thing.
Gotcha.
Double meaning type of deal. So, yeah, we built it all up with promos and backstage vignettes and stuff like that.
Did you go over in your last match?
I did.
Nice.
I was very happy about that. That was the last. It was very important to me at the time. I was like, listen, this is the last thing for me to do to prove that I'm not worthless. That I'm not just this joke of a wrestler that's just a throwaway gimmick that somebody used to insult somebody else. You know. So I was like, all right, I need to go over in this match. And Bombo was fine with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So, and now, of course, you're doing the podcast. And
yeah, still trying to stick around in the business a little bit.
And because I remember I did the podcast like a while ago, and you were kind of keeping that under wraps that you were a wrestler.
Yeah, I was trying to, only because I hate going on or listening to shows where, like, say it's a comedian that's hosting a podcast, and the guy has another comedian on. I feel like you should be putting that guy over. Like,
okay,
you should be more talking about that comic other than yourself. Well, when I'm on stage, you know, that's just how I feel. Like, I hear a lot of that on Preston and Steve here in Philly.
Yeah.
Because Steve used to be a comedian. Anytime they have a comedian on, it's like, oh, yeah, I used to go around to the comedy show or whatever, you know.
Well, when I host a podcast, I like to include little anecdotes about myself. I think it adds.
I thought you were going to knock me. You're like, I see these comedians trying to be wrestlers. I was like, no.
Find a real insulting.
It's a real specific thing to hate.
Well, we also like to geek out on this show. And we do it with the segment called What You Watch and What You Read and What You Play. It's where we talk about what we're watching, what we're reading, what we're playing. Rick, you're new to the group. What have you been watching?
I've been really into the Orville.
Really?
I don't know how I feel about it yet.
When I first saw it, I'm like, okay, they're clearly ripping off Next Generation. But I'm seeing it more of like a loving tribute now.
Yeah. They're clearly ripping off Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, too.
No, they're not. But and that's what, because you go into it thinking, oh, this is just it's just a comedy, but it's not.
It's not a comedy, yeah.
I think Seth MacFarlane wanted to write a Star Trek show. Star Trek, whoever owns those rights, said no. And he was like, well, I'm doing mine anyway.
Yeah.
And so it's not the commercials make it look like a comedy, and it's not. It's got jokes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in fact, the jokes are the kind of the weakest point.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Not the joke. It's
the
so
jokes
weird,
are good,
and I feel like Seth's getting held back again by producers because the jokes that are like Star Trek jokes, like jokes about things that like you know that a Star Trek fan gets, are good. But then they make these like modern references to like shows that are on right now, and it's like, no, don't do that.
Because they're supposed to be in the future, but they're making like Keeping Up with the Kardashians jokes and stuff.
I just thought about this because I was like, yes, and Star Trek also likes, like even Next Gen, like to make references to only things that have happened in our time and back.
Yeah.
They're always afraid to make up a new reference.
Right, right.
Like nothing interesting in the world happened from our time to 2100.
Well, I mean, that wouldn't work as a joke.
No, but they already did a Kardashians joke, and that stuff's kind of weak.
That was good, though. I still enjoyed that. It was basically when they did their human zoo episode where some alien race kidnaps them and puts them in the human zoo. So to make a trade, they gave them all the reality shows of this era.
So that's
going to be like the best exhibit ever.
See, I don't know about these references because, you know, I don't like make a lot of jokes about Thespis, the original actor, you know, that guy from 3000 years ago.
Yeah. To Next Gen's credit, they would also make a lot of Shakespeare references. Okay, at least they were doing. But I really liked the last one. I watch it on Hulu, so I'm behind the one, the gender identity one.
Yeah, that was, I think that was the last one.
Yeah, there's a race that usually only has one gen, like they're all male. And occasionally there's a female, but they're like a genetic anomaly. And this one character has these two characters have a daughter, And so the one character's like, yeah, goes to the ship doctor who's, did you ever watch Deep Space Nine?
No.
Oh, the doctor is a character from Deep Space Nine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which okay. I love. But yeah, they take it to the doctor like, hey, you need, can you sex change our baby? And she's like, no. And they're like, why
this
not?
This is a newborn baby.
Yeah. It's cool because most of the characters are human, so we're horrified, but
right.
they are aliens, and this is a very
this
different
is how they do
thing.
It.
It was a cool, and then they end up going to trial because the one husband decides he doesn't want to do the sex change either, and it's kind of, and then at the end they lose, and which was like sad, but I don't know, it was interesting.
Interesting.
So
interesting.
He's good at drama.
Yeah.
Huh. And I didn't expect.
Held back by the comedy,
so it is surprisingly like a real show.
Yeah, you go into it thinking, okay, it's Seth MacFarlane. It's going to be like raunchy Family Guy style comedy, but it's not at all.
And it's going to get so canceled because of that.
Well, it's on Fox.
It's
on Fox. I'm surprised it's lasted the three episodes.
I mean, you've convinced me to give it a shot.
Yeah,
so.
Which is how I know it's gone.
Yeah, that's true. So that's what Rick was watching. I'm glad Will immediately took that and started to talk about himself, which is a thing that Rick hates.
No, it's fine. I'm glad you agree with me.
I don't have any friends that watch it, so I haven't had a chance.
I noticed you perked right up. Oh, I like that show too.
You jumped on it so hard. I was like, oh, he's doing a bit. And then you kept talking. I
wanted to talk about it.
He woke up real quick. At the beginning of this podcast, he was like, I was so exhausted. What, Orville? Yes, Orville. Go, Orville.
Well, have you seen The Witch?
The Witch, no.
Have you seen another? I'm just trying to think of a thing I could say, and then you could just jump all over it.
I haven't seen too many new shows this year yet.
I jumped on the one thing you had seen.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine.
Well, now I feel like a jerk.
No, it's fine. I'm all over Netflix and stuff too. I just finished up The Ozark.
I haven't seen that.
Series. That's a good show. I recommend that.
Yeah,
it's
Justin
like
Bateman.
A tamer version of Breaking Bad.
Is it?
I think so.
What?
That's how I would.
I don't know
it.
Anything about it, like other
Jason
than it's Jason Bateman and
Jason or Justin.
His real name is Jason. We say Justin on the show to make fun of people.
It's just one person.
That's fine too. I made a whole career, a wrestling career out of making fun of one person. So
exactly.
Go for it.
Yeah, it's working out.
Nobody else got it. They just thought I sucked at it.
But what is Ozark about?
Jason Bateman is a money launderer for this drug dealer or gangster or something like that, and his partners were. That tournament over there is getting raucous.
That's intense.
But they're the people that Jason Bateman was working for were skimming money off the top, and the gangster just started popping them off one by one. And so Jason Bateman's like, I have a way of getting you millions of dollars by laundering down this. He made it up off the top of his head. Like he saw a brochure somewhere. He's like, oh, I'll go down to the Ozark. They're cleaning up down there. It's all touristy and everything like that. So the whole show is him basically trying to swindle all these like local businesses, trying to get money laundering through them. It's interesting, and he takes his whole family down. His wife is in on it, but in the first episode, spoiler alert! In the first episode, they find out that the wife has been cheating on him.
Okay.
So now they have to pretend that they're just perfect happy family down in the Ozark, and their kids know nothing about it.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, it's kind of Breaking Bad in that way where the kids don't know.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting.
I'm going to have to give that one a shot, too. I'll give the Orville a shot first because it needs it more.
It does. We need the ratings. Come on, Seth. Pull it together.
I'll give it a shot.
Because Seth needs money, right?
Yeah, exactly. We got to make sure Seth
failures.
MacFarlane doesn't go broke. Oh, we need Ted 3. So
still,
I watched.
Still shooting for Cleveland Show season 5.
That's not going to happen.
It had 4 seasons?
It had 4 seasons.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. they had a pretty good Christmas episode because they did Die Hard.
They did Die
Other
Hard,
than
yeah.
that, it wasn't great. I'm going to skip your turn. I think you had enough to say. I saw Stephen King's It.
Oh, yeah?
No spoilies.
It's terrible. It was awful.
Really?
I don't
hated it.
Believe
I've
you.
Heard
I don't
think
this is one of those things
it.
You're wrong about.
Oh, I should mention that I watched the 1990...
Oh, yeah. Oh. I don't like that at all.
made for TV film?
I don't think that holds up.
No, not at all. Oh, my God.
Did you have a lot of friends that were like, I have a lot of horror movie friends, and they were like, they're going to remake it? I can't believe they're going to touch this. I was like, it's not good.
Yeah, it's miserable. Like, it was made in 1990 before, like, children had to know how to act. They were just happy to have kids that were doing the movie. Because they're all terrible. But it made me nostalgic for the time where the antagonist of a movie could be a psychopath bully. Like, the bullies in this are out of their mind.
Like murder bullies.
They all have knives.
Yeah.
Like, you get introduced to this bully character, and what happens is he's calling this kid fat. And then they're like, you have to go to the principal. He's like, all right, fine. He stands up in front of the entire class and goes, you, I'm going to murder you. And then walks out. I was like, you could never do that.
No.
And honestly, I don't think today's students identify with a bully like that because there's so much anti-bullying.
Yeah,
where they're not like, I'm going to message you on Facebook later. Not that that's not horrible. I'm just like...
Well, put it this way. Flash Thompson is now captain of the decathlon.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, instead of the high school football hero.
Well, I think a decathlon athlete would be in better shape.
No, the math-tathlon.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
That's very different.
Yeah.
Did I say 10 sports? I meant equations.
10 word problems.
But yeah, I watched all like 3.5 hours of it.
It's a long
and
movie.
Like, no one is good in it.
No.
Like, the adults are bad. The kids
are bad. I haven't
seen it in a long time. Yeah, I mean, like, Tim Curry's good in it.
He's Tim Curry.
Yeah.
So.
But, like, there's definitely this weird feeling of it can become whatever it wants to, but it chooses to be a silly clown. Because why not?
I think he likes it. I won't begrudge him his favorite
form. Yeah, that's
form.
True. Yeah. But it's also before, like, they figured out horror. Like, there's not a jump scare in it.
Well, that...
They just make the filming unpleasant. Like, anytime something scary happens, it goes to blurry slow-mo with bad music. Yeah, Stephen King thought slow-mo was really scary.
Because I'm not a jump scare fan, but yeah, that just sounds like they put Vaseline on the lens. And
yeah, it's real bad, but I wanted to give it a shot before I watched the remake.
I just read somebody, they equated jump scares to a comedian that runs into the audience and tickles the audience and then goes, I'm good, see you laughed.
I'm going to try that.
Yeah,
it
sounds like a great idea if I don't have to write jokes anymore. What a great solution.
Yeah, I'm going to give that a try in my next mic. I'm going to throw it down to you, Rick. What have you been reading?
I just finished a book called Creepers.
Creepers.
By David Morrell, the guy that wrote Rambo.
Okay, okay.
It's a story about a reporter who gets word of these guys that call themselves the Creepers. They're basically like urban explorers. They go into... what are those magazines, like the Weird Jersey?
Weird NJ?
Weird New Jersey, yeah.
Okay.
Stuff like that, where it's like, okay, there's this house that has a history behind it, or there's this, whatever. This one, they're all going into a hotel where the owner of the hotel, this was in Atlantic City, where the owner of the hotel was a hemophiliac, lived in the hotel, never left the hotel, except one day he walked out onto the beach and shot himself in the head, and nobody
Ooh.
Knows why. So they're going into the hotel to explore and trying to figure out all kinds of stuff that's happening.
Interesting.
It's very cool because they're basically criminals. They just break in.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the hotel is going to be torn down. It's all condemned and everything. But they're breaking in. They're trying not to like leave anything behind. They're like one of those groups.
Gotcha.
But one of those groups.
Respectful.
Yeah.
They
but,
sound like a Scooby Doo gang.
Nah,
it's just like we have
kinda.
To go into this building. It's like why? All right, let's go.
But it's cool. I mean, like they start just finding the weirdest stuff. Some tenant left a dead monkey in a suitcase.
That's well. I bet he left a live monkey in his suitcase.
That's a good point. I never thought
probably
of that.
Just dead.
There were no bananas
now.
In there.
Well, they find a dead monkey. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Who knows if the monkey was dead or alive?
But interesting
entry. What's that?
So it's like it's a horror book, right?
No,
or it's
not
just
really
a mystery?
It's kind of a mystery, yeah.
Okay.
Like all this stuff starts coming out about everybody that's involved in the group. I don't want to spoil it if anybody actually checks out this book. It's a really good book, but there was a gangster that pretty much stayed in the hotel full time that had like a hidden safe. So
okay.
The guy who's a reporter is not really a reporter. He's just trying to get at the safe.
Okay. All right. Cool.
And then there's some other people that get involved because they also got wind of the safe, and it becomes, you know, a murder spree, basically.
Cool.
You know, it gets really interesting. Look it up on
Wikipedia.
Be the
guy that wants a monkey skull more than any of them.
Yeah. But guys, I found a dead monkey. I might have to check that one out. That sounds good.
Yeah.
William, you read anything good?
I started listening to My Favorite Murder, which I know we've talked about this in our real lives.
Yes. It makes me a little queasy.
Yeah, it's a podcast that it's two comedians talking about who just really like reading and hearing about serial killers and like strange murders and stuff, which is a very common thing, apparently. Not like obsessively, but just like,
right.
Like train wreck, can't look away.
Yeah.
Hearing
right,
about
right, right.
Which I'm not as obsessed as these people or the people that on the Facebook group I joined, but I still found it interesting. But I've been listening to that and another ghost podcast for like 2 or 3 weeks now, and it like I can't anymore. It started to affect my psyche.
That'll happen.
And now, and I don't know enough about the things they talk about, so now my Google search history is basically a murder confession. Like if they were to remotely suspect me of anything, I couldn't even defend it. I'd be like, yeah, I'm on your side. This looks real bad.
Did you recently search effective poisons resurrecting the dead?
Yeah. Well, it's. Did you look up a bunch of serial killer murder scenes? And also, I've been doing landscaping, so like chainsaws and and hatchets and stuff, so.
Shovels.
Yeah, I did night digging the other day, and I was like, a guy that looks like me can't night dig.
Yeah,
that's
you can't
not
do some
thing.
Night shoveling. Did you have your night goggles?
Yeah, my night goggles, and then it gets dusty, so I have that skull face bandana I put around my mouth so I don't breathe the dust in.
Ketchup all over me.
Yeah, it came with my Call of Duty. I almost said DVD. I'm tired again. And I had a spike, and now it's gone.
All right, I'll try to bring you back. I made a pact with myself that I was going to read a new comic book.
Ooh.
And I wasn't going to read a wacky crossover like I usually do.
Here we go.
And then I ended up reading Batman Meets the Ninja Turtles.
Ooh.
I didn't know that existed.
It does, and it's pretty bad.
Yeah, really?
It took way too long for Batman to meet the Ninja Turtles, and then once they do, it's like, I don't want these two to interact at all.
It always seemed odd to me, like the Ninja Turtles as a serious comic book.
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it has
kind
started,
of,
is what I heard.
But, like, they're able, like, Batman fights them. And the Ninja Turtles are like, he's fighting us in a weird way. I think he's trying to figure us out. And then they, like, the Ninja Turtles find the Batcave. And I was like, I don't like this.
Well, I mean, that sewer is their domain, and the Batcave is like a sewer.
And, Killer Croc finds the Ninja Turtles by mistake. And he's just, like, walking around. He's like, why are there video games down here?
Oh,
that was fun.
Killer Croc and that Cajun alligator should have made friends. That'd be a great comic.
I hate the team. I hate Batman and the Ninja Turtles. It seems weird. But Batman versus the Shredder is a fight I didn't know I wanted so badly.
From the Ninja Turtles universe should totally meet up with people from DC, which is more appropriately.
Yeah, exactly. So I would like to see the Shredder versus Batman. I didn't finish the comic, so I knew like that's where we were headed, but we never got there.
I'd like
I know.
I have to run out and buy this comic now.
Rocksteady and the Rhino to team up.
That's Marvel.
Yeah, I don't care anymore. I realize I don't know as many DC people.
And Rick, I'm going to throw it back down to you. Yeah. What have you been playing? You been playing anything good?
I did get to play the Rick and Morty VR.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That is awesome.
Yeah?
That I'm a huge Rick and Morty fan.
Yeah.
So, I was a big fan of that game. It was cool. I didn't realize that you were playing the game as a Morty clone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was interesting. I figured you'd be Rick or Morty or both sometimes.
Well, technically you are, kind of.
Kind of, yeah. Being in VR, this is my first VR experience.
Yeah, we recently had our first VR experiences as well. Unfortunately, not with Rick and Morty, but it definitely threw me more than I thought it would.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it's like, I'm going to know that this is a visor. I'm in a new world.
Right. That part was cool, but not being able to move.
Yeah.
Once you move your feet, you're like, oh, wait, I'm not really here.
Yeah, yeah.
So that kind of stunk. But
move the feet in ours?
In ours, you could dodge. Like,
I know there was a motion
detector. Yeah, there was head tracking. In this one, like, you warp around, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way they've been getting around things.
So you don't do much warping. So you just kind of have, like, three spots.
The next thing they need is the community VR thing where you can run.
The pod where you can run?
Yeah.
Or it's from Ready Player One?
Yeah, I didn't read it, so.
It's a good book.
That's on my Amazon wish list.
Ready Player One? Oh, it's real good.
Good things about that.
It's real good. Yeah. It's one of my favorite books. I might read it again with all my free time that I have. but what do you do in the game? You just being a Morty?
Rick and Morty are off on an adventure, and Rick is just kind of he's got like the watch where the hologram watch where you can kind of talk to him.
Right.
So he's just kind of giving you random tasks to do things like, oh, we need a new battery, you know, make us a battery and ship it through the portal or whatever, you know. So you're kind of doing stuff like that, but the humor is definitely there. Like,
yeah,
it feels like you're
it feels like Rick and Morty.
Yeah, so that's the cool part about it.
Cool. But, I super want it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I highly recommend it. And it's
What was it? Oculus Rift or
it was the PlayStation VR.
Okay, all right. I really want to get one of those.
Yeah. One of these days I'll be able to buy my own.
Yeah. I think that day's coming very soon
when
for me.
When it comes out right of on the quadruple edge. Digits, we'll
It's a bit expensive. Will, we're a little short on time. Is there anything you want to talk about?
No, we can skip it.
Okay. I played Cutthroat Kitchen the home game. I was trying to make pork.
Yeah, did you just make food?
But I was trying to make pork chops.
Your fiance just.
I was trying to.
No, I'm going
to
jump all over you. Fair's fair.
What, fair to who?
To Rick.
I was trying to make a dinner for my fiance because it's her birthday. But my sabotage was that she really wanted to talk. She really wanted to talk on the phone while she was coming home. So I had to do it like super quietly so she didn't know what I was doing. Because I'm not allowed to cook. I will burn down the house. So I had to do it in secret. It was a great success, and I'm very proud of myself, and I want to brag. So I made it with coffee. Oh, it was so good. That's why I'm so amped.
Chicken?
No, I said pork chops.
We're still from the pail.
What did you do with
the pail of chicken you had?
We end all of our podcasts with a game. It's time for host versus guest versus audience. This week, I got this cool nerdy sign that I don't have anywhere to put in my house, but all the fonts from different shows, and they got a bunch of different sayings from different shows. If you know what all the references are, you're a big nerd. Congratulations.
This is like the Big Bang Theory of things you could put on your wall.
Yeah, it's just
yelling things from nerd stuff.
Exactly. Rick, what did you bring?
I brought the entire first season of Challenge of the Super Friends on DVD.
Know what that
which
is.
Which is the old. It's basically Super Friends back in 1978, the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
I watched half of one episode. It was very.
What happened?
Excellent.
What happened in the first half?
In the first half, there's Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman.
Yep.
And they're kind of bobbing around doing DC like things.
Well,
so there we go.
As always,
available now from Warner Brothers Home Video.
As always, I've forgotten to mention that you took part in the Nintendo World Championships.
Yes, I did.
You received a score of 99,310. I don't have Peg Warmer's score here, but I think that's good enough for third place.
Hey, all right.
Yeah, so that
I'll
puts you in the top
place.
Three.
Give me that bronze medal. That can't kill someone like a gold medal can.
Yeah, yeah. You're no Vlad Radinoff. But So congratulations. Welcome to the High Scoreboard.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
All right. So now, to play host versus guest versus audience, we need an audience member.
Oh, which one?
But we forced them to put up a prize for us to win since we brought these amazing prizes. What did Katie bring this week?
Floor trash. Floor trash. Floor trash.
You brought
trash.
A combination lock.
Yes!
Ooh, it's a mystery lock. Come on up here.
Hours of fun.
She brought an adventure.
Yes. One of these days.
I'm gonna get it.
Is this on?
So you don't know the combination to that lock?
Not anymore.
Perfect. Katie, thank you so much for coming back on the show and bringing your weird floor trash.
I love that he's trying to.
How's it going?
I don't know what you listen to.
I don't know how to do that.
All right, so we're going to play a game we haven't played in a while. We're going to play Landmine.
Oh, I love Landmine.
Oh, good.
Sorry, I'm a fan of this. Okay. I'm a fan of the show, but I'm happy to be here.
Cool. I'm glad I brought this game back for you. I'm going to give you a multiple choice question. Three of the answers are correct. Just don't pick the one wrong answer. So everyone will get a chance to answer every question. You can't repeat an answer. And the person with the least amount of landmines at the end will win. Will, we're going to start with you.
Okay.
Three of the four were tag team champions in the WWE. Spike Dudley, Hulk Hogan, D'Lo Brown, and The Godfather.
Three of the four held
one half of the tag team champions in the WWE.
With anybody.
Okay. And what were the options?
Spike Dudley, Hulk Hogan, D'Lo Brown, and The Godfather.
Spike Dudley.
Rick?
I'm going with Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan. Katie?
D'Lo Brown.
Spike Dudley was a tag team champion. He tagged with Taz to win the tag titles. Hulk Hogan went through most of his career without any tag team gold, but then finally won with Edge upon his return.
That's weird, and I don't like it.
Yeah, isn't it weird? D'Lo Brown never won the tag team titles. That's a landmine for you. The Godfather would, when he was the good father, held it with Bull Buchanan as part of Right to Censor. So, Kate, it's a landmine for you. It's okay.
I don't know why I thought it was Spike Dudley for some reason.
No, I don't think he held it for long, but he did indeed hold the titles.
Because I was thinking it was always Bubba and Devon that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they never let Spike play because he was the grunt.
Go home.
Exactly. Rick, we're going to start with you. Three of the four have never had a number one hit song.
Okay.
Matchbox 20, Nirvana, The Who, Jimi Hendrix. Pick one who has never had a number one hit song.
Who's never? Out of those four?
Yeah.
I feel like you're trying to trick me.
Maybe.
No, I'm gonna say Matchbox 20.
Matchbox 20.
Has never had a hit song is what I'm going to say.
Katie?
What were the choices again?
The remaining choices are Nirvana, The Who, and Jimi Hendrix.
It does feel like a trick question.
Right?
Doesn't it?
What defines hit song?
Number one on the Billboard charts.
I'll
just say Nirvana.
Nirvana.
I'm going to say Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix. The only band on this list that have had a number one hit song is Matchbox 20 with Bent. So that's a landmine for Rick.
Great.
we're going to start with Katie this time. Rick, you recently met Kevin Smith.
I saw a
picture of you with Kevin Smith.
I got to hug Kevin Smith.
Aww.
I was super happy about that.
Three of the four Kevin Smith movies have rotten ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. So don't pick the one that is fresh. Red State, Zach and Miri Make a Porno, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, and Mallrats. You want to pick the ones that are the worst rated.
Wait,
this is tough.
So only one of those is good?
Only one of those is rated fresh.
Huh.
Because I know I have different movie opinions than like internet.
Than the critics.
Critics do not like Kevin Smith.
No, they do not.
I want to say Red State, but I haven't seen Red State, so I have no idea.
All right, Red State, blind guess. All right. Will?
The bad ones?
Yeah, you want to pick the ones with the worst ratings.
Zach and Miri, Mallrats, and what?
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
All right.
People don't care for that.
I love all of these movies, Kevin Smith, just to let you know.
Yeah, I love all of them as well.
I think one of them is overrated.
I believe Mallrats was not well received by the critics.
Okay. The worst one on here is Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back with 53%. Then it is Mallrats with 55%. And then with 59%, it is Red State. Hey, the only one certified fresh is Zach and Mary Make a Porno with
65%. I think it's a really sweet and funny movie.
I like it. I think Red State is awesome.
I haven't seen it.
Red State is one of my favorite movies.
It was on Netflix. If, I don't know if it still is.
And I think Mallrats, overrated.
What?
Yeah.
I think just for how good he is at Sega Genesis, that movie gets a pass.
Not saying it's bad.
All right, so Will, you're the only one that has not hit a landmine.
Yeah,
we'll do another round.
I'm cracking.
We were talking about DC Comics.
Game.
We were talking about DC Comics earlier. Out of these four DC characters, who has the top three kill counts in the comics? Ozymandias, Brainiac, Darkseid, and Ares. Yeah, I found a list of the top 15 most kill counts, and I will tell you that the top three were not characters I was super familiar with, so they're not on here, but the top three out of these, name one of them.
Is it my turn? I'm sorry.
It is Will's turn.
Okay. Darkseid, Ozzy, who?
Brainiac and Ares.
I feel like Brainiac's blown up planets, so I'm going to go Brainiac.
Brainiac?
I'm going to go... see, now this could be a trick question, too. I want to go with Ares just because, he's the god of war.
Yeah, but does all war count as his or just his
that's
personal
what I'm
kills?
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Darkseid.
You're going to go with Darkseid.
I feel like he's got to blow up planets, too, right?
Yeah.
Ares or Ozymandias?
Ozymandias.
Brainiac is eighth on the list of most deaths, or most kills. Darkseid is fifth on the list.
Nice.
Ozymandias is 13th on the list. Huh. And Ares was fourth. So that is a landmine for Katie. So two for Katie.
Oh, no.
One
I
for
don't
Rick.
Get the floor
Will
trash.
Has none.
It's all right. I'm going to get this.
We're going to start with Rick. According to biographyonline.net, who are the three most famous people who have ever lived? Abraham Lincoln, JFK, Marilyn Monroe, and Mother Teresa.
Wow, okay.
It's a weird one.
Yeah.
Skews largely towards one nation's people.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
I don't know where Mother Teresa is.
Very
from.
Apples to oranges right now.
What do you think, Rick?
Can you give me the options again?
Abraham Lincoln, JFK, Marilyn Monroe, and Mother Teresa.
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln. Katie?
We're trying to figure out who the most famous
is? Most famous.
Mother Teresa?
Mother Teresa.
I'm going to go Marilyn Monroe.
The number one most famous person of all time, Marilyn Monroe.
I'm so good.
Followed by Abraham Lincoln.
What?
Followed by Mother Teresa. So no landmines.
Yeah.
Perfect round. And we'll do the last question because it's fun. Three of the four are types of Muppets. Pick something that is a type of Muppet.
Wait.
Dozers, Fracklers, Whatnots, and Beebles. Katie, we're starting with you.
What were those again?
Dozers, Frackles, Whatnots, and Beebles.
I'm trying to figure out what is a Muppet.
It's not quite a puppet.
No, wait. Are we...
Are you
only one of them is not a Muppet, right?
Only one of them is not a type of Muppet.
Type of Muppet, okay.
These are Muppet species.
Did you say Fraggles?
I said Frackles.
Yeah, that's what...
With a K?
I'll say Beebles.
Beebles? Will?
Doozers.
Doozers?
The call it dozers, and you stole my answer.
Dozers.
What are the last two?
We got Frackles, and we got Whatnots.
You know, their buildings are made out of radish dust?
Yeah, yeah.
I recently looked this up. No, they don't eat them. The Fraggles eat them.
The Fraggles eat them. I remember that whole
But if they didn't eat them, they overtake the Fraggle, Fraggle mines.
It just keeps on growing and growing and growing. Whatever. I'm stalling for time.
I'm trying to help you out.
I'm going to say the Whatnots.
A dozer is from Fraggle Rock, of course. A whatnot is any random puppet that doesn't have a name. They call a whatnot.
Nice.
And a Frackle is a monster-type Muppet that appeared in a Christmas special. There are no Beebles. So that's another landmine for Katie. That means with no landmines, Will is our winner.
And that would be where it'd be really cool to unlock it.
I'd unlocked it. But now you have all the time in the world to unlock that.
Yeah, hey. Try to unlock it when you watch that DVD and read that sign.
Exactly.
What great things I've won.
Katie, thank you so much for coming up here.
Thank you.
Rick, we got to get out of here. Anything you want to plug?
Yeah, please listen to Rassle Rock. It's RASSLEROCK. It's on wildfireradio.com, Friday night, 7:15 p.m. on the East Coast. Also, if you like the show, go to teespring.com and order our T-shirts. We got 9 or 10 T-shirts for sale.
Oh, wow.
There's a whole bunch of weird stuff that you're not even going to understand if you don't listen to the show, so don't try it. But I'm wearing
Become
one now
fan.
For the people that can see it. It's the Red Bull with Macho Man Randy Savage dropping elbows on it.
It's pretty solid.
It's pretty cool. Also, go to my YouTube channel, tinyurl.com/YouTube, Rick Connor, RICKCONNOR. That is where all the matches that I film and edit and produce and put out there, you know, the best ones, that's where I put all of those. And my demo reel is on there as well, so if you like them, hire me and give me money.
To film wrestling, not
to film wrestling.
Not to wrestle.
Not to wrestle, no.
Gotcha. Will, anything to add?
Yeah, pineapples ripen faster upside down, and the Guinness World Record for the heaviest pineapple was set by a pineapple, glad they included that, weighing 8.06 kilograms, I don't know what that means, grown by E. Kamuk of Ace Village, West New Britain Province, Papua New Guinea.
You know, I've done most of these already on this podcast.
Have you?
Yeah, I think that might be where people are getting these. They might be listening to old episodes and giving you these. Be sure to give us 5 stars on iTunes, 5 stars on Stitcher. Vote for us on podcastland.com. Make us the podcast of the month. Also, you can like, comment, and subscribe on YouTube. And now you can also watch live on Twitch. So that's a thing we're doing now. And I also play games on there sometimes.
Sorry.
So be sure to check out twitch.tv/+2comedy. Upcoming shows include, be sure to join us next week. That is October 5th with the creators of Cheese Quest, The Quest for Cheese. Their Kickstarter is ending soon, so please donate to that as well. And the quest for quees. And as always, thank you to Ben Affleck for making the show possible and keeping the streets of Gotham City safe. This is the +2 Comedy Podcast. Thank you guys so much. We don't know when we're clear now because we're streaming. Just keep doing stuff.
Anybody want to lock?